T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a new sheriff in the studio, that's for
sure. There is. So you better be on your best behavior.
I like to think I'm the sheriff around here, but that's not true right now.
There isn't room enough for 2 sheriffs in this studio. We have a real sheriff. The new sheriff for Hennepin County, Dave Hutchinson. Welcome to CCO.
Thank you, sir. It's, glad to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. You must be pinching yourself in a good way, right? I mean, talk about a meteoric rise. How do you translate this? How do you account for going from Metro Transit police sergeant to sheriff of Minnesota's most populated county? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, we worked our tails off. A lot of volunteers, a lot of hours of door knocking, calling. A lot of it was just, again, hard work, and towards the end, I think it was a lot of luck. But hard work is the name of the game for anything in life, and this is one of them.
Or, Sheriff, do you think the people of Hennepin County were ready for a change? And if so, how are you different than Sheriff Stanek? He was in place for 12 years.
That's a very big possibility, and I think the differences are very obvious. One is I'm more community-oriented. I'm less about, you know, national politics and big politics, and more about local, how we can affect the state of Minnesota and Hennepin County and surrounding areas, getting a better police service to our people.
People have described you as being able to connect with all sorts of people. In fact, when you were working in Metro Transit, you said that you saw a lack of trust between civilians and officers. Now, maybe you are uniquely suited to this role. How do you plan to use that skill to connect with the people of Hennepin County and the criminals of Hennepin County?
Well, I think, you know, to get bad people off the streets, we have to have relationships with good people. Because without good people calling 911 or reporting crimes, we're useless. So we need the community and their input and their trust to do our job. And the good people demand good policing, and we're going to give it to them.
Sheriff, in the business world, we talk about doing a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Is there anything, and I know it's still real early and you're still wrapping your head around this job, what keeps you up at night? I mean, what do you see as the greatest priority? What's the low-hanging fruit? What do you hope to attack first?
You know, that changes, but I think right now with the information I received today and just the last week of the opioid crisis is top of that list. We had a meeting today with a well-respected doctor who was working for Hennepin County, community corrections coordinator, pretty much everybody in Hennepin County that has a stake in making sure we can get rid of or help these people with the opioid epidemic and their addiction, because more people, as you saw on the news a few days ago, are dying from opioid overdoses and traffic fatalities. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. And it's affecting everybody from you know, urban to suburban to rural. And we got to do a better job. And that's, again, making sure that we reach out to medical profession, the corrections therapist. We can't do everything by ourselves.
And again, mental health, that was a big part of your campaign, a big part of your push. Can you talk just a little bit more about what can you do as sheriff to help people who are going through a mental health crisis or get the help that they need?
Well, we start a new program called the Co-Responder Program, which has a mental health professional with an officer or deputy, you know, respond to calls of service. So if someone calls their significant other is having suicidal thoughts, through our dispatch system, we'll send a unit out that has a deputy specially trained, as well as having a mental health professional in the car.
Wow.
So we can bring the services to them. St. Paul's doing it. Minneapolis is doing it. Duluth was kind of a pioneer in Minnesota. L.A. started doing it about 12 years ago. It works. It's not the end-all, be-all, but if we can help people more effective for not a whole lot of money, we're going to definitely do it.
I'd like to go back, if you can, to dealing with the public. You seem like a easy guy to talk to. We just met, but we're friends already.
We are.
Right? You didn't ask me if I could, to call you Hutch, which I'm a little upset about. Because
you can call me whatever you want.
See, I'm going to have to call you Sheriff Hutchinson for a while, but I'll get used to the Hutch thing. I know there was a discussion about you guys hosting open forums, office hours, where people can come in and talk to you. What other things, if any, are planned to build that community relation? It's easy to say we got to have good relationships with the community. Yeah, that's easy to say. And sure, you do. But what are you planning to enact to really get those people to come out and learn to trust you?
Well, I think the analogy I always use is everybody talks about having a seat at the table. Our administration is going to try something new. We're going to bring, we're going to have a seat at their table, meaning different groups, the Somali, African-American, Latino, LGBT. It's not fair to everybody come to my fancy office and sit on my couch. It's last week I went to the north side of the barbershop. Last night I was in a church in Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, with a group called Inner Hero. They're talking about police relationships and the community's relationships, and we're going there. They're not coming in where we're at.
That's good, because you guys have a lot of, not just you personally, but you have a lot of work to do. I mean, the relationships between law enforcement and communities in Minnesota, all over Minnesota,
to
especially with minority
that,
communities,
that trust, right?
are struggling.
Well, we got to get out there and talk about it, and we got to make solutions. We can't bicker back and forth on social media. We have to come up with solutions. The solutions are getting people that look like everybody in our sheriff's office to work there. We need to mirror the community to be served. But also, and I always sometimes forget to talk about this is, we talk about mental health, but my big push is going to be making sure our deputies, our detention deputies, our staff has the proper mental health treatment so they're healthy, happy. Because sometimes we treat our inmates better than we do our staff. I mean, they get chaplain services, they get medication, they get all this. And then we send our staff home saying, okay, well, you got paid, that's all we owe you. We're going to change it. We owe them what we owe everybody, to treat them like human beings. And if they're struggling, we're going to get them help.
That's interesting. I've never heard it put in those terms, that we, in some cases, treat our prisoners better than we do our staff.
Yeah,
I've never thought of it from that perspective, but all the services that people need just to live happy, healthy lives as healthy as possible.
Hey, look at the corrections officers getting hurt outside of Hennepin in the state system. We need to make sure they're happy and healthy so they can serve people with dignity and respect. So we got to treat people how we want them to treat other people.
Right.
Can I ask you a little bit about training of the officers?
Sure.
Something that's near and dear to my heart is getting a handle on sexual assault and rape. The Star Tribune did a half-year-long series called Deny Justice about this, and their results are staggering that, 8% of rapes or sexual assaults that are ever reported to police actually ever see a conviction. I mean, 25% are ever sent to prosecutors. It's really astounding. I understand that local police enforcement usually are the first responders on this, but a big problem is training, especially with trauma, how officers respond to scenes when there's trauma involved. What is your involvement in that that community, and are you talking about extra training for the sheriff's deputies and the officers that you work with to be able to properly respond to sexual assault calls?
Absolutely. Those cannot happen. 8% is way too low. I mean, it should be 98% of conviction rates on that.
Amen, and, Sheriff. Amen. And,
I mean, because nobody deserves that, male, female, child, whatever. They call us to help, for us to help them, and we're going to help them. Training would be how to identify things like that, de-escalation and more kind of sympathy. I mean, again, it goes back to mental health of the officers. If we're not healthy and happy, we're not going to treat people well. So we got to make sure everybody's on the same page, and we got to offer our support and our condolences. I mean, that's a huge thing. I've never gone through it, but I just can't imagine. And we need to do a better job of making sure that people can call us and expect us to do something. And, I'm going to say that we're going to do a much better job. We're going to get training through the state. We're going to get training through different aspects, because I don't want Hennepin County just to be as it was for the last 166 years. I talked about 21st century policing, and we're going to bring this department forward, and we're going to make it better And part of that is better training for not just that, but for opioids, for mental health, for everything. We gotta, our community needs us, and we're going to be there for them.
You talked about getting out into the community face-to-face. I mean, that all sounds terrific. One of our listeners asks, Sheriff Hutch, it's nice. It has a nice ring.
They call you Hutch already.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. Trust me, right?
Well, I know it could be worse.
Yeah. Sheriff Hutch, we heard that you might be spending a shift this upcoming summer biking up in North Minneapolis with the Minneapolis Police Department's Bike Cops for Kids Youth Engagement Project. Are you ready for a full 8 hours of intense youth engagement on bikes?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm at the gym biking now. I need to lose some weight. I gained a little bit during the campaign season, plus working full-time. But my friend Mike, who's in, started that program, who's probably the best cop in the Twin Cities, he invited me, and I'm going to get there. We'll be there.
Awesome.
I might be huffing and puffing, but I'm not going to let anything stop me from hanging out with those kids.
Something Rich Stanek and I talked about here on this show was the question about sanctuary cities and illegal immigrants and what to do with those folks who are living in Minnesota. We will talk with the new sheriff, Sheriff Hutchinson, who I eventually will call Hutch at the end of this interview, right after the break on CCO. Welcome back. It's 4:26. Special guest in studio.
It's cliche to say, but dang it, it's fun saying it. There's a new sheriff in town.
And in the studio.
Yes.
Sheriff David Hutchinson, the new sheriff of Hennepin County, is joining us in studio. And thank you for your vulnerability and your authenticity in the conversation we're having today.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah.
Really glad you're here. Let's talk about the illegal immigrants. We know illegal immigration is such a hot topic these days. No, we're not going to talk about the border wall unless you have any plans to build one around Hennepin County.
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yes.
Just making sure. Talk to us about how this will be handled. I know you felt that Sheriff Stanek may have gone too far to help ICE in the apprehension of illegal immigrants. How will you handle this, and will Minneapolis continue to be a sanctuary city?
Well, I think, you know, Minneapolis will be, and they have different guidelines. And we have Hennepin County, we're going to do our best to make sure that people are treated equally no matter where you're from. Undocumented people who are arrested for low-level nonviolent crimes shouldn't be subjected to deportation, in my opinion. You know, it's not like high, you know, violent crime, murder, criminal sexual conduct. We talked about a rape. That's different than getting pulled over with no insurance, which you should have insurance, and those people should, you know, pay the piper. They should pay a fine, and if they sit in jail for a day or two. But if they've never been to their home country for 30, 40 years, if they get arrested on a nonviolent misdemeanor, we're going to do our best not to contact ICE, because we don't really need to in some respects. But there's a simple thing we can do short term is do what all the other counties in Metro are doing. We have to report to the BCA every 30 days. Under the old administration, sometimes people were notified same day, meaning ICE was notified same day if somebody was arrested. Who self-reported them being undocumented, and we're going to stop that practice.
Why?
It's because we need to make sure that everybody's comfortable calling us. So if you're an undocumented immigrant, and I've had a story, and I if you have time, I can say it now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
A couple years ago, I was driving down Lake Street. I was headed to one of my favorite coffee shops down there, the Smalley place for tea, and I was flagged down from a guy I've known for a long time. He's always been a kind of a handful of ours, but he's been a friend, you know, of the police. He flagged me down and said, hey, point out some Latina woman. Says she was, obviously she was assaulted. Went and talked to her. She spoke enough English where she could communicate. She was bleeding from the face, and she said, you know, I don't want to file a report. And you know, threw the story at a young Latino cop come over and help talk to her. And she said she didn't want to file a report. She got $2,300 stolen from her. But she was so scared to file a report because she thought that we're, A, going to deport her or come to her house later and find her husband who's undocumented. So now not only is this woman fled a different country to have a better life, too scared to call us, doesn't want to file a report, but now you got these idiots that robbed her. Now they're running amok on the street. In order for those people to be comfortable coming to us, crime's going to be lowered because people are going to be more apt to call us and communicate with us and a relationship with. It's all about building relationships. I mean, we're not here to ruin people's lives. We're here to protect you.
And I think that's your message, that don't be afraid of us, because if you call us, we can continue to cut down crime in the community. And that's your goal as a sheriff, right? Yeah. To continue to cut down crime in the community. It's not to be an agent for ICE. It's to serve the community.
Yeah, and I would say ICE has their job. They have to track things, but that's not our job. Our job is to reduce violent crime, run the jail, run the courts, run water patrol, serve civil and warrants. And that's, Hennepin County Sheriff's is to keep people in Hennepin County safe. It's not to do the job of ICE.
Sheriff, how do you balance compassion, I mean genuine compassion for another human being, with enforcing the laws on the books? A couple of our listeners said, well, hey, they were here illegally, and that's a crime. That the story that you mentioned about, you know, the undocumented person who obviously needed help, she was bleeding, and of course, your heart goes out. But then what do you say to people who point out that, well, they're here illegally, and what can we be doing? What should we be doing?
Well, these are people here that have houses. They own businesses. These aren't just random people. We need to do a better job. If we're so concerned with that, we need to do a better job of making sure people don't come here illegally. But when they're here, it's my job as a sheriff to make sure, regardless of how you got here, that you're safe. And so, you know, you can go back and forth saying it's against the law, but, you know, people fleeing a country in ruins to come to America for a better life, they should have gone through the proper steps. My family did. But it's not my job as a sheriff to pick and choose and say, you know, well, this is our job is to keep people safe. And, you know, I keep saying that over and over again. The job of sheriff is to keep everybody safe, regardless of what you look like, who you love, or what country you're born.
Sheriff Hutchinson, right. We wish you well. Congratulations on the new gig. And thank you for your time here in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Is Jordana under arrest?
No, but she can call me Hutch now if she wants.
See? It's a victory for me. I can call him Hutch. That's right. Thanks, Hutch, for coming in the studio.
Good day for you. Thank you, Sheriff.
Really appreciate it,
sir.
It's also 4:32. When we get back, we're going way beyond the headlines.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jordina.
Did you ever find a gerbil in your skirt?
Why do you have to say that with the music?
That would be my answer, Your Honor. No, I have not. And thank you for asking.
If I could have isolated the music out of that, that would have been perfect.
That's funny. That's funny because you know what? A Taiwanese woman who stopped at a customs checkpoint on the island of Kinmen after returning from a visit to China was found to have 24 gerbils strapped to her leg and covered by her skirt. She claimed she was smuggling them in for friends, purchased them at a pet store in China. Officials believe she was sent by a smuggling ring to test out the inspection procedures at the port. Best part, she was 60 years old, charged with violating the Infectious Animal Disease Prevention and Control Act. And by the way, the animals were euthanized. So really, the gerbils were the ones who really took the fall in this
episode. Is there a photo of this woman?
Excuse me. Really? You want to look up her skirt?
No.
Gerbils?
I just want to see if she has a mousy smile.
Okay. All right.
Was she a small, mousy woman?
All right. Beat the gerbils.
I can top that. Christmas Eve, 43-year-old man. Caught with a boa constrictor hidden in his trousers.
Merry Christmas.
As he was boarding a flight to Israel.
Yes.
From Berlin.
Fantastic. What a present.
The snake smuggler was caught because security noticed a large bulge in his trousers and searched him.
Is that a snake in your pants?
What if there was no snake?
Right? Oh, my God. Right?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, when searched, airport security found a nearly 16-inch boa, which had been wrapped in a cloth bag and tied with a cord before being shoved down the man's pants. Boas are protected and regulated. Import and export of the reptiles must be declared. According to the press release, the passenger was not able to provide documentation for the snake, which was then later confiscated.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is that a boa in your pants?
Sir, I'm just going to reach down in here, make sure. Sorry.
That couldn't have ended.
It's not
really.
A gerbil. But
a boa? Think about this.
Really? You want a boa around private area?
Two words. Boa constrictor.
Thank you. We've got to get off
I have
this.
Nightmares.
I'm really
having
a
like
hard
that.
Time not saying the wrong thing on the air.
I know.
There are a lot of jokes that I can't say, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Australian mother hasn't used shampoo on herself or her children for over a year.
Ooh,
delicious. Well, smells like teen spirit, huh? Mother, she hasn't used cosmetics on herself, by the way, or her children in a year. She says she has saved thousands. Yeah, I bet you've saved thousands, and nobody wants to be around you.
Spends thousands on shampoo?
Well, whatever.
What are you putting on your head?
She made the controversial decision to stop using toiletries on both herself and her kids after becoming concerned about the amount of toxic chemicals in the mainstream beauty products. So it's not just shampoo. She quit using makeup, perfume, conditioners, face cleansers, body washes, moisturizers, fake tan. I guess she was spending a lot of money on fake tan. And hair dye. She says it has saved her almost it's 2,000 pounds. So what's that?
$2,500?
About $2,500 US. Freelance writer even cut down using soap and completely stopped washing her three-year-old son Oscar's hair. While her daughter, Elkie, one, has never been exposed to any products other than water and oil. I bet they smell good.
Okay, that's gross.
Yeah.
But I will confirm that the best part of losing my hair was the fact that I've saved a ton of money on shampoo and haircuts and all that kind of stuff.
There's a bonus.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a bonus. But we're hoping you continue to
bathe and
use soap on your other parts.
That part, I'm not giving up the soap. But I do say I don't have to worry about hat hair in the winter. You know,
some advantages.
Absolutely.
I'm with you, brother.
You're selling it.
I'm with you. All right. Nike is launching self-lacing basketball shoes, sneakers.
Okay, that's like Jetson shoes. Style stuff. Tell me about that.
It's called Adapt BB. They will sell for about $350. It's more than a shoe. It's also a communications device. So your shoe can communicate with your watch or your smartphone.
Why would I need my shoe to do that?
To tell if your shoe needs help, if your shoe is having issues. Under the insole of these sneakers, do you say sneaker or
sneaker.
Tennis shoes?
Sneaker. I don't play tennis, so I don't wear tennis shoes.
There's a little cavity, and there's a gyroscope and an accelerometer.
What?
A capacitive copper force, a Bluetooth sensor, and a battery that can last between 10 and 20 days and charges wirelessly. You put your shoes on a charging mat, and they're ready in 3 hours.
How much are they?
$350. Now, listen, this is great for runners, you know, who like to psychoanalyze the condition of their shoes. Mm-hmm. It isn't so much that people are lazy, too lazy to tie their shoes, but think about it. People that have accessibility issues, disabilities, people who can't bend down and tie their shoes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So this notion that it automatically closes snugly around your foot and it's remotely operated, it can also be, this technology can be retrofitted into older products. And again, your shoes can communicate with your watch or your phone and tell you if there are issues or problems. So anyway, keep an eye on that. Nike, the Adapt BB.
Your boys play Fortnite? I know they're a little older now.
I hope not. I don't
Fortnite?
Think so. I don't think so.
Well, I have a 13-year-old boy, and that boy's addicted. Fortnite players were exposed to hackers who could control their accounts, purchase in-game items through their credit cards, and drop into in-game chats posing as the hacked player. This according to a cybersecurity firm. The company immediately alerted the developer, Epic Games, which told Variety magazine it fixed the massive security hole this month. We're made aware of vulnerabilities and soon addressed it. We thank Checkpoint for bringing it to our attention. Now, this is kind of a big deal because that's how Fortnite makes their money, obviously. When you buy skins and you, I don't know all the lingo because I just can't sit and watch the whole thing. But then I think you can buy dances and the whole shebang. They're getting sued because of the dances, by the way. You know that story.
Right.
So for hackers to be able to purchase in-game items through credit cards and jump into their games, it's kind of a big deal for the players. I'm going to have to ask my son if there was any shady stuff going on in November. Glad it's fixed.
Speaking of online, Snapchat, be careful with those photos. A Texas woman was arrested this week after police say she shot and killed her boyfriend while posing for a Snapchat.
Come on. Oh, like she didn't mean to do it?
No.
Oh, my
Apparently
gosh.
Not. Autumn King, 20 years old, arrested on Monday. She killed a 26-year-old Eric Charles Allen the day before Christmas while he took a picture of her posing with his loaded rifle.
Oh my
According
gosh.
To the Austin, Texas Police Department, the couple were inside their home with two kids when the shooting took place. King told detectives she was posing with a rifle and aiming it directly at the victim, who was holding King's phone for a Snapchat photo. She said that's when she accidentally pulled the trigger, shooting Allen. Apparently, it was trying to be like a Bonnie and Clyde
Whatever.
Photo.
Whatever. That's really tragic, but my God, you're an idiot.
Charged with manslaughter, second-degree felony, being held $200,000 bond. Good grief.
Yeah. Again, tragic, but your stupidity will kill you sometimes.
Well, you don't point a weapon at anybody.
Unbelievable.
Ever.
Let me squeeze in one more before we get to Maxie. Is that okay?
Yeah.
A group of students at Knob Noster High School is working with the Air Force. Isn't this really cool?
Knob Noster?
So this is in Kansas City. Well, a little bit east of Kansas City. Okay, the robotics team is working weekly to perfect their invention. It is a cover. It's a protective cover for an electrical switch box that now sits inside the cockpit of every B-2 bomber.
Wow.
Brett would be interested in this. They say it easily peels off and then it sticks right back on, ripping and replacing the Velcro cover from the gray plastic box. The plastic cover is simple to manufacture. Students showed it off. They created it on a 3D printer in just 3 days. The Air Force commissioned the students to create 33 of them, one for each B-2 bomber, after pilots complained the switches on the box were perilously close to being triggered by something as simple as a tangled headset cord. So they created something to block off the knobs so there would be no accidents.
How cool is
that?
Isn't that
great? These kids.
Common sense.
Good job, kids.
Yeah. Very
robotics
cool.
Teams, go.
All right, we're out of time here. It's 4:48 Wixon Jewelers time. Wixon is Minnesota's destination for rare and exceptional diamonds and gemstones just off 35W in Bloomington. Paul and Jordana joining Mike Max. Mikey, I know you don't like to dwell on yourself, but congrats on the Channel 4 gig.
See, that's how much he doesn't like to dwell on himself.
He
actually
did not like
hung
that intro.
Up on you because he didn't want any
I'm kind of used to that, though. And this is how they used to deliver the weather many years ago. Before TV and radio, they would call people up on the phone.
On the phone and say, hey, it's going to be cold.
Mike Max, welcome.
Yes, I'm here, man. I promise I didn't cut you off.
Nah. That was on me.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, tell
Dan
us.
Dan Cook does not make mistakes often.
Oh, no. I do. No, I'm just very clever about covering him up.
He has sharp glasses, and now I know why he gets expensive glasses. He never had to buy shampoo. I heard him talking.
It was a glitch in the Matrix, Maxie.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Tyus Jones injured in Philly. What's the latest on
yeah,
Mr. Jones?
They're listed as a left sprained ankle. There's one word that matters here, and that's high as in high ankle sprain. If he's got a high ankle sprain, some say that's worse than breaking an ankle because it takes so long to heal. If it's your ankle down by your foot area, that heals quickly. You can tape it up. You can do some different things, ice it, and be okay. High ankle sprains take a lot longer, and they need him right now because Jeff Teague is fragile. He's the point guard. Derrick Rose is fragile. He's the other point guard. They've missed a lot of games. So it's significant if he can't play. And ironically, Trey Jones, his brother the night before, gets hurt his shoulder. The AC joint gets dislocated. So he's going to be out a long time. And Duke was ranked number one in the country and got beat. So back-to-back, really strange, the two Jones boys go down with debilitating injuries.
Oof.
That game was
really
a debilitating
sorry to hear
injury.
That.
Jeez.
Oh, wait, Syracuse, I forgot. The big upset, Jordana, they beat him at Duke.
Did they? Oh, that's great news.
Yeah, that was the game when he got hurt. I thought you were glued to the tube.
No, I was talking about the score last night, 149 to 107. That's abysmal. Abysmal.
What do you want to say about that?
Nothing. I want to say nothing. We're moving on to
night.
The offensive
Remember
line.
We were talking, though. Yes, I was so excited for that game. Trash talking. You know, it's good to go down in the fourth quarter. There was no trash talking. They didn't have to, you know. There was nothing to talk trash about, you know.
Please.
Hey, Maxie, not much time, but tell us about the Vikings offensive line. What are some new developments there?
Rick Dennison looks like they're going to hire. He was with Gary Kubiak, who they just hired, and it looks like they've given Gary the keys to the offensive kingdom. This would be the third coach that he puts in place since they hired him as an offensive advisor. So they really are going to take some extreme measures here to try to change the offense. And these players are all signed up and locked up, so they can't do much personnel-wise. So they're going to try to work on things with the coaching staff to try to change
it. All right. Hey, Mike, congrats on the Channel 4 gig, buddy. Well done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.